Hello, everyone. My name is Taylor.
And I'm Kelly.
And we are the co-hosts of Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. Every other Monday, we're coming at you with news, show reviews, and previews of upcoming Joshi action.
So whether you're just getting into the scene or you've seen it all, this is the show for you.
Check us out on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network and wherever you get your audio.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is, how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Here we go! Baby, kiss me like a love.
You're listening to the Emerald Flow Show on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 85 of the Emerald Flow Show. We're a podcast on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. You can follow us on X and Blue Sky at Emerald Flow Show. You can follow us on all of your favorite podcast apps. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review. And you can also donate to the show at voiceofwrestling.com/donate if you're feeling generous. I'm Gerard, back with Paul. And we haven't recorded in a bit, Paul, so we got a lot to go over. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to start with my amazing, amazing trips to Arena Mexico.
Yes, I've seen some pictures and I've heard some stories, at least. It sounded like it was a really great trip for you.
It was an amazing trip. First of all, if you've never been to Mexico City, you should go.
Yeah, I really want to. I kind of missed out, basically, like... In 2021, I almost went, and then I went to Istanbul instead, but I kind of regret not going to Mexico City.
So, Arena Mexico is an experience. I ended up going to 2 shows. I had originally only bought tickets when before we left for the Friday night show, because it's the Friday night show, but I loved it so much, and I found out that on the following Tuesday show, they were doing Atlantis Jr. versus Hedgesero, so I bought it. I went to that as well. I had really good seats. The seats were like, basically I was across from, like, I was looking at the entrance ramp and I was like 5-6 rows back. So, and they were like very affordable too, right? This is not, you're not dropping $2,000.
you're not racking up additional credit card debt just to like sit in like,
no,
the like 12th row somewhere in the nosebleeds or something.
No, not at all. So like very affordable. And of course, when you go to Arena Mexico, which is a fairly central location, a little, I guess, southwest of like the Centro district, there's tons of vendors. I mean, there's vendors all over Mexico City, but there's obviously like lucha themed vendors outside of, Arena Mexico. And I ended up buying 5 masks, and I'll give you the list.
Oh, wow.
Mil Mascaras.
Of course.
Dos Caras. Viano 3.
Ooh.
Dr. Wagner Jr. and Tiger Mask 4.
Ooh. Not Tiger Mask 2.
No, it has a little 4 on the forehead. That's fine. Masks that I was on the hunt for, but I did not see, were El Canek and Ultimo Dragon, but I did not see any.
I think you can find Dragon. I think you can find Ultimo Dragon masks in Japan, actually.
Well, I'm sure you can. I just figured if they had Tiger Mask masks, they might have Ultimo Dragon masks.
Yeah, fair.
So anyway, the shows themselves, obviously the CMLL has done this format where there's a lot of foreigners there, right? They have very much sort of oriented their business towards welcoming foreigners. Like, 'cause before, you're not like supposed to take like video with your phone, but they have totally relented on that and like encourage you to like post stuff on social media and everything like that, right? So that's sort of just the ways that the things are changing. There's a lot of, like, I just went and bought the tickets myself from Ticketmaster, but there's a lot of like tour packages you can get now with Lucha tickets to Arena Mexico and everything like that. Anyway, it's an incredible experience just in terms of the heat, the foot stomping, the atmosphere. Obviously, the Friday show did pretty well, but I was surprised with how many. Tuesday night did not have as many people as the Friday show, but it actually had a much bigger turnout than I expected for a Tuesday night show. So they're doing, and there were foreigners at the Tuesday night show as well. So I thought, will be one of those great experiences just of wrestling, but I'm also just, going to an event for mm-hmm. sure. Great. I mean, I love the seats, but from what I could sort of feel in there, it's set up in such a way that like there's no bad seat in the house, everything, right?
Oh, so you can just see from like every seat essentially. So it doesn't really
matter. Yeah, pretty much. It just looked like the shape, right? It was, obviously it's owned by CML. It was designed for Lucha.
Yeah.
And everything like that. It's like, 60, 70 year old building now. But, it's got all of the modern lighting and smoke machines and everything like that, right? Just the outside looks, really, it's just the outside that looks old.
I mean, it survived a couple of earthquakes too, right?
Oh, yeah, actually, yes, a couple of earthquakes as well. So on that first show, I was the only person that was loudly chanting for Satoshi Kojima.
Somebody has to.
Oh, of course. Because he was in a teaming with Defunto, Satoshi Kojima and Valdar Jr. defeated Atlantis Jr., Flip Gordon, and Starr Jr., which was only a one-fall match. Not bad. Kojima didn't do that much, but... I was cheering for him.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that in the opening match could on a random like Arena Mexico show.
This was the semi-main.
1%. Oh, it was the semi-main. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, which I didn't realize it was going to be. Another match I really enjoyed was Atlantis and Blue Panther defeating Los Gemelos Diablos. Gemelo Diablo 1 and Gemelo Diablo 2 with Kim Alito. Yes, I got to see Kim Alito. That was a lot of fun just because of how much heat. Because Los Gemelos Diablos are just like stock Lucha Rudos with like skull mask type things. They obviously beat up Atlantis and Blue Panther, which got like tons of heat. And like, they were just incredibly, like Atlantis and Blue Panther were just incredibly over. And the main event was Sky Team of Mascara Dorada, Mystico, and Neon with Kimonito defeating Los Infernales, Averno, Euphoria, and Mephisto. They won it in two straight falls because the first fall, Los Infernales got their... sells DQ'd because they ripped off Mystico's mask. And the heat for them going after Mystico's mask was incredible.
I can imagine like
it. And then like, because they ripped it right off and Mystico like ran in the back with his hands over his face and everything like that. But of course, this being, Lucha Pro Wrestling, Mystico was back a couple minutes later to teach those Rudos a lesson.
Yeah.
That was actually not my favorite main event, but it was quite the experience to see Mystico, basically, and the heat for that. On the Tuesday show, I got to see Okamura and Yutani in action.
Ooh, the Okamura.
The Okamura. They faced Dragon de Fuego, Dragon Legendario, and Dragon Rojo Jr., but they defeated like Okamura, Yutani, and Vegas Depredador, who I'd never seen before, but it's great because he's just got like a traditional Lucha mask with a dollar sign on it. Because it's Vegas, I thought Yutani was a great heel.
But, I mean, I've seen him in great a couple of times. So, I mean, he's always done well there. So, But I mean, from what I've heard, he's so much bigger in Mexico. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he was generating a lot of heel heat too. So that was good. I'd keep my eye on him since he seems to have given up on great.
Yeah. I mean, I'd also rather take like CMLL bookings than great bookings because you have to pick one or the other because great has a relationship with AAA.
Yeah. Yeah. I go
maybe. Who knows?
Stick with the hot company.
Yeah.
And the semi main event was a lightning match, so 10 minute time limit. Was Hechicero defeated Atlantis Jr., and I think this was probably like the best wrestled match I saw in all of the Arena Mexico shows, even if it was short, but it was just great. Like, start off with great mat work, then big near falls, et cetera, et cetera. And I was a little shocked that Hechicero won, I guess.
I mean, he has been getting pushed, so.
Yeah, so he defeated Atlantis Jr. in 905. And then so I thought the main event of the Friday show that I went to was an experience with Mystico, but I thought this was a better match. So the main event of the Tuesday night show was Mascara Dorado and Templario defeating Las Hermanos Chavez, Angel de Oro and Nibla Roja, and 2-1 in falls in 12:42. I just thought it was a more put together like go tag match with less of like the lucha heat segments of obviously like the mask being ripped off and everybody running to the back. And Paul, I have a new dream match.
What is it?
It's Angel de Oro and Nibla Roja versus the Saitos.
Ooh, I can see that. I think that would actually be interesting.
You know, brothers versus brothers.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're great heels and everything like that.
Yeah, exactly. They're great heels, so the Saitos can like go full babyface in that match too.
Yeah. So yeah, that's my Arena Mexico experience, and I highly recommend it to anyone.
Yeah. No, I mean it's definitely on my list. Like it's. Yeah, I'll just have to see like when I'll fit it in. I had some like brief thoughts about maybe going over for like the World Cup that is coming up. But given the whole situation in the US, I don't know if I am still going to do that. Like maybe if I can avoid going to the US, if I literally like I'm able to do it, you know, where I'm like, I go to Mexico and I fly like with no stopovers in the US basically, then go to Canada or whatever, like maybe then I'll do it. Otherwise, I don't think that's worth the risk.
Paul, you don't want to debase yourself by watching a soccer game in Canada.
Ah, you know what? I mean, okay,
none of these can be any worse. None of these stadiums are really well. I mean, they have soccer stadiums in MLS that have been built in like Vancouver and Toronto, but by soccer stadium standards, they're small, they're like 30,000. Canada does not have any large stadiums that are soccer appropriate that are like 50 plus.
But they have to have some, like, because I think FIFA has some minimum requirements for what you need to have to be allowed to host like a World Cup game.
Yeah, this is why it's split over three countries.
Okay, never mind.
I mean watching a soccer game. Watching a soccer game in Mexico City would be amazing, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, no, that one is definitely like maybe I'll just make it a like go to like Mexico City to watch like football and wrestling basically, and then just fly back to Europe.
Yeah, that would probably be your best bet if you're World Cup. I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm not going to get into a whole like analysis of all the stadiums being used in the U.S. and Canada for soccer. But especially,
I only know that one time Canada tried to freeze the Mexican national team to death in Edmonton.
Yeah, that will happen. So, yeah, I mean, it would be curious to go, but I mean, I just find it fascinating that they've allowed Canada to host part of the World Cup with a wholly inadequate infrastructure.
I mean, it has to be like they get like Toronto gets a game. I feel like that's about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, look, they've got a soccer stadium for Toronto FC, but again, like it's, I think 30,000, if even that, right? It's not even a stadium, like a field with like two sets of large bleachers on each side.
Is there nothing being built? Like generally they built like a bunch of like stuff. Like that's what they did here in Germany. Like when we hosted in like 06, they built like a bunch of new stadiums just for that.
No, not in Canada at least.
Okay. I mean, they have to get at least one, like they have to get at least one, like otherwise it's like if you host and you don't like, you know, like you can't be a host if you don't actually host any games. That doesn't work.
Yeah, no. You want a hockey arena get built? That can be done for you.
what if it's a hockey arena that also is a football arena at the same time?
All right. So from there, I guess, Paul, you covered, I guess, for our listeners, you covered the Noah Sumo Hall show on Wrestling Omakase with John.
Exactly. Go listen to that one. Yeah. Go listen to that one if you want to hear my thoughts on that show.
I'll just give some quick thoughts from my perspective. Obviously, the junior tag title match was great. I enjoyed Yohei versus Ada, and I honestly was not expecting Ada or Yohei to win, although I guess they really were hyping it up that he had never won the title before. And the main event I thought was great, but then it just became, I mean, Kenta looked like he was in the zone and everything like that. But then I just thought it became, you know, the typical Ozawa stuff that's now just all blending together in my head. What can I say? So I would give it an okay, but not great, a good, not great show. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, what I will say is that, like, I was happy with the attendance that they got, which I said on Omakase as well, but, like, you can't really fault them for, like, drawing, like, the best number in Sumo Hall in, like, what was it, like, 8 years or something crazy like that, yeah.
No, 2018 they did over five. It was that
Well, I mean, I mean, that is... 7 years. That is not 7 years ago. Like, that's not that different. Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. You're right. Almost 7 years. Yeah.
It's 20. Yeah. So, it's, I know that time has ceased, like, existing to some degree since Corona, but, like, it has been like that long, basically. It's 2025.
And before we get to Noah, other show, I'll just match. I just before the show started, I watched the 30-minute draw from the tag. Taka Taichi Mania show of Tomohiro Ishii and Taichi versus Jun Akiyama and Zack Sabre Jr. It was awesome. Like, four and a quarter stars. Go watch it. And Akiyama still got one big main event left in him if he wants it for watching that match. Because the finishing stretch with him and Taichi was great. So I don't think he wants to bother to do that, but he could if he wanted to.
See, the only thing I could see him do a big singles match if he does one with Endo at some point.
Yes, that probably would. So we'll go to Star Navigation from May 18th at Korakuen Hall in front of 1,562 fans, and the Noah hot streak continues. This sold out before bell time too, I think, like a day or two before.
Yeah, they even like sold out all of the like standing seats and everything in advance too.
Yeah. So we start off with Muhammad Yone and Shuhei Taniguchi defeating Shuji Kondo and Daiki Odashima with the muscle buster from Yone on Odashima. And Kondo was in the opening match of this because he had to get over to Oda Ward to also be on the Japan show later that afternoon. But it was a solid opener. If anything, I mean, look, I get it. Odashima, the young guy, you're going to keep this quick. But these guys could have gone longer as far as I can.
Yeah. I also like Yone, like really like laying in the shots on Odashima as well.
Yeah. And then Atsushi Kotoge and Hajime Ohara defeated Alejandro and Kai Fujimura in 8:17 with the Dolphin Clutch from Kotoge on Fujimura. I mean, this was just a perfunctory second match on the card junior tag. But the Dolphin Clutch was the highlight and the most important part of this match, just heating up for Kotoge's match with Super Dolphin that's coming up. And then Naomichi Marufuji, Takashi Sugera, and Masa Kitamiya defeated Tetsuya Endo, Daga, and Owada-san in 10:29 with the Olympic Slam from Sugera on Owada-san. This is a good tag match, but then, you know, Mr. Yoshitatsu decided to get involved, and then Endo ended up turning on Team 2000X, and then, you know, so that was set up and everything like that. But Paul, I got to say, we all knew it was coming, but this felt just incredibly compact. How long has Endo been in it? 2-3 months?
Yeah, like this kind of, to me, this like it kind of comes out of nowhere because they basically started teasing a little bit of like disagreement with him and the rest of Team 2000X, and then he just immediately turns like right after. Like you could have drawn this out like a little bit. Like, okay, here's two scenarios. Either they could have drawn this out a little bit better, or this is like a swerve and he is like rejoining like pretty quickly.
I've already seen people throw that out there, and I think it's ridiculous, but not, and it would be horrible and stupid, but not out of the realm of possibility given who is booking this company. But I still probably think that it's, but we'll get more into that later. Four-way match, Dragon Bane and Alpha Wolf defeated Amasuka and Junta Miyawaki and Ada and Super Crazy and Hayato and Yuto Kikuchi and 828 with the Wolf driver from Alpha Wolf on Kikuchi. Obviously, this was like a balls to the wall type 8.5 minute tag multi-man, and I thought it was actually kind of placed pretty good on the card, given you know, the first three matches weren't quite as wild as this, and they usually put this kind of match earlier on. So I like this sort of at the halfway point of the show type thing, but you know, I mean, there's not much to say. You would expect this to go crazy, and then for whatever reason, Super Crazy did his shtick and it's still over. I should add.
Yeah, somehow, like I remember when like he came back and did that like terrible All Japan tour, and then went over to Noah, and I was like, oh, okay, this is probably like the end of him, like in Japan or whatever. And then he went to Noah right after and has just been around like for so, like, is this his longest continuous Japan run?
I'd have to look it up, but it feels like.
Yeah. I mean, probably because nobody books him anymore in Mexico.
Well, he's around because I'm pretty sure his daughter went into the Wave Dojo.
Ah, so he might have actually just moved there. Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's not on every tour or show, but he's popped up again.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, that was a lot of fun. And then we've got the Daiki and Abba return match. Been gone since last July. Kenno Kenta and Uko Sasaki defeated Manabu Soya, Saxon Huxley, and Daiki and Abba in 1409 with the Kenno special on Inaba. I quite enjoyed this. And I got to say, Paul, I forgot to mention this on the Sumo Hall show. That Galeno versus Huxley match was Saxon Huxley's best match in Noah.
I mean, that's a low bar to clear, though.
It is a low bar to clear. It was not a great match, but 5-6 minutes, they do their thing, perfectly inoffensive. And for whatever reason, I don't remember anything Huxley did in this match, which also probably helped because I thought it was a lot of fun. Was the right finish. With the guy that's been out almost a year losing. And then, you know, Inaba wants a shot at the GHC tag titles. And thankfully, in some logical booking, Kenno told him, they actually have to, like, you know, get a shot, like earn the shot. They can't actually just get one, which, you know, is some logical booking in Noah.
I mean, it is, but it also felt like, it feels like they're really turning Inaba into a comedy guy now. Like, with the whole thing of him, like, coming out, like, after, like, the Hayata-Tarasuke match, right, and being ignored. And then I think that happened on, like, one of the house shows as well. And then they finally kind of were like, yeah, I guess you can join. So, but very much feels like they're trying to turn him into, like, yeah, I don't know, like, into, like, their comedy guy, right? Like, basically.
A comedy guy for a comedy unit.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Oh, actually, sorry, because I know you're kind of done with the Sumo Halter, but like, I do need your thoughts on the outfit of one Manabu Soya.
Oh, the special guest referee.
The ref outfit.
Soya. That match was silly and ridiculous, but he looked good.
I don't know. To me, that's like a worse like midlife crisis outfit than like what Sonata's wearing right now.
These guys are like barely 40. Isn't that like a 45 to 55 thing? But anyway.
Yeah, but it's half career crisis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. And then the next match for the GHC Junior Heavyweight title, Yohei defeated Tadasuke in 1052 with the Super Gamen G to make his first defense. This is interesting because I thought, okay, they tried to set up like, you know, these longtime teammates going at it. And it was good, but it just didn't seem to have the kind of, I thought it started off well, but it just didn't seem to have and I think it was good, like 3.5 maybe, but it didn't seem to have the oomph that I would think that these two colliding should have had if built up properly. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, because I think we can actually compare it to another Tadasuke match that had exactly that oomph, right? Like that was the match where it was him versus like Amakusa was Amakusa Hao or Neo? I can never remember which one he was.
He was Neo.
Neo. Like, you know, him and Tadasuke, like that was like a match of like former like stablemates that had like proper oomph behind it. Right. This didn't, like, it was, yeah, I agree with you. It was kind of weird where it's like it was a good match, but like based on how they built it up, there wasn't enough hate there, I would say.
Yeah, and well, the ending was like, okay, Tadasuke does a couple of moves to Yohei, and then Yohei pops up and just hits the Sumer Gam. And
yeah, basically.
But solid enough. But I just think, like, if this was like, I don't know, second match from the top or second match on the card between these two guys for no title, it would have been, oh, that's a good match for that. But didn't quite, should have been what a junior title match between these former stable mates was.
Especially because the match with Eita was so good.
Yes. Okay. I guess back to for a second. I was surprised how many people thought that Yohei was actually knocked out.
I don't know. Do you really think he wasn't?
Yeah, I think it was a work. And someone brought up, I wrote this down. Someone said that he was doing something. I have it written down. Oh, that it was a callback to Eita versus KZ in 2023.
Okay. I mean, if he wasn't, he did a really good job at selling that.
I know. I think it was a work.
I mean, it could very well be, because, like, just based on, like, how he did, like, the rest of the match, you know, like, that would be, like, incredibly, like an incredible performance while you're not quite all there, essentially.
Well, think of Ashino versus Anzai and what happened in that match after Anzai got knocked.
Anzai got knocked out, yeah. So, I mean, from that perspective, I can see it where it was actually just like, he was just really amazing at selling it, which, I mean, kudos to him in that case.
Yeah. So that was sort of what I thought of those two junior title matches then, I guess. So for the GHC heavyweight title, Ozawa defeated Kaito Kiyomiya in 23-31 with the Real Rebel to make his fifth defense. And this is a real roller coaster, Paul. I thought this match was just so great starting off. And then, of course, you get the Team 2000X interference. And then Kaito has his, I don't know, stone cold moment or something, where he's kicking all this ass and he's beating up, got that big smile on his face, and then beating up everyone. And then, you know, obviously Ozawa wins it, which is not surprising. That stipulation also that people were talking about never existed. That's just something Ozawa put out there. So I don't know. Yeah. By the end of this, I was like, okay, well, this, despite the Kaito moment, this just became, and the great start. I mean, these guys work so well together. You know, if you sort of isolate their actual wrestling, it's awesome. But by the end of this, I was just like, sick of it. What can I say?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to continue for a while. That's the thing.
No, though. I know. But it's already, I'm sick of it already.
Yeah, I mean, for me, what was more important for me here was like, Kaito, basically, because I think we're finally getting what was needed for Kaito. I think we're finally getting somewhere that is good for him. Like we think we finally get that, like, change of character that he desperately needs. Like, we no longer, like, because, okay, let me ask you this. What are, or, like, let's say within the last 2 years, what were Kaito's best feuds?
The last 2 years? Okada?
Mm-hmm.
And Kenno?
I would say Gabe Kidd.
Oh, right, yes.
Right? And, like, he had such different energy in that. He kind of had that dickhead energy. He had to be like, yeah, okay, I'll fuck you up. Right? Like, and this was, like, the most interesting Kaito has been over the past years. And Noah, for some reason, was just like, nah, we're just going to make you this, like, happy smiley baby face. And it just didn't work. It got rejected by the crowd and everything. And I think now finally they're realizing, no, actually we need to harness the Kaito from those feuds, basically. Like, he doesn't have to be a heel, but he has to be kind of this kind of like ass kicker, basically, who's like not going to take any shit and who isn't just kind of going to like meekly lie down when he like loses a match or whatever. And it's just going to be like, oh, shucks, I lost the match. Like, he's going to be pissed off when he loses the match and everything. And he's going to, like, want to, like, kill the guy if he feels like he's getting cheated out of the match and everything. So if that's the character, like, that's the character that I think he kind of had in this match. And if that's the character that they're, like, going with going forward, I think I'm actually, like, if this is the Kaito that we're getting, I'm actually now of the opinion that Kaito should actually, like, be the guy that eventually beats Ozawa.
I mean, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. I mean, they get this rematch out of the way and then you can go back to it in January. I think that's perfectly
reasonable,
not a bad idea at all.
Because it was weird that they did it in Kurikan on such a short build as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Kaito completely won the match back when he started kicking Ozawa's ass and gave him the punt kick and everything like that. I was like, damn, he's not falling into like shooter trap or anything like that.
Exactly. Like that was the moment for me as well, where I was like I was part of the people that got turned on that one, where I was like, yeah, oh no, fuck yeah, let's go Kaito, like kick this guy's ass essentially. Because before, and I was like, yeah, I hope Ozawa just kind of like finishes off this geek or whatever, and then we can just move on. Whereas like I instantly was like, yeah, okay, let's go. Okay, like I can see what you're trying to do here. Let's go.
Yeah. And then after the match, Tetsuya Endo comes out, which should not be a surprise to anyone, but so does Takashi Sugera. And Ozawa proposes a survival three-way, which is an elimination three-way, like how they used to do in ECW for the title. Yeah. Paul, thoughts on that? Because I hate it.
I hate it too. It's awful. Like freeways are never good. Like it's just shitty American wrestling stuff. Like that was actually the thing that kind of made me suspicious that there is some sort of swerve coming, essentially, where like Endo actually like turns and like rejoins Team 2000X or something, or even dumber, Segura turns and joins Team 2000X. So I really hope that's not what they're doing, but I'm kind of afraid that we might get something like that.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, we should add, because we're going to go to the previews of a couple of upcoming shows next, but the end one dates have announced, and they're going to do it in 2 weeks in September. So there's more than enough time to be like Kaito versus Endo, or sorry, Ozawa versus Endo, and then Ozawa versus Sugera. Mm-hmm. But they,
it's not like you have that many main eventers, right? Like,
no, you don't. You've run through them all
except for Kenno. So
Kenno and, well, technically Marufuji too.
Marufuji, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I could see Kenno getting a shot. I don't think Marufuji is, especially since he lost to Kaito at Sumo Hall.
Sumo Hall, yeah.
So I don't know.
I guess you could do Sawyer, but like, do you really want to do Sawyer again? That's kind of lame.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, I don't know. So yeah, that's why, you know, if you're thinking Swerve is coming, I don't think that's a real possibility. So overall, I don't know. I mean, it was okay show, but some of that stuff just turned me off.
Yeah. It wasn't a great show. Like the other Kurikans I've liked a lot more, but I mean, at least this one, like all of the others had like a really hot crowd. And I think the main event also, like the live crowd seemed very happy with the main event as well. So
yes, they definitely did. I mean, it was quite the roller coaster, I suppose. So in terms of upcoming shows, we have, well, Monday Magic is returning on Monday, May 26th. So, you know, get into it, you know.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Yeah. And then they have another Shinjuku Faith Show on Saturday, May 31st. And right now, all that's listed is the GHC Tag Team Championship match. And the graphic they have is Kenno and Uka Sasaki versus Soya, Huxley, and Inaba. So are we heading into like Freebird rules with these tag titles? I don't know.
I mean, maybe it's going to be a thing where like Inaba has to prove himself that he can challenge for it. I don't know. It's weird. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the next big show is June 3rd at Korakuen Hall, where we've got, so far, only three matches announced. Atsushi Kotoge versus Super Delphin. I forgot to mention that Junta came out to challenge Yohei, and so we're getting Junta versus Yohei. Paul, what do you think? Is this just a gold watch reign for Yohei, or is he beating Junta?
It feels weird if like Junta gets his first reign off of Yohei.
Yeah. Well, this is why, like I said, you keep the title on Ada for the rest of the year and they have Junta beat.
Yeah. I think he beats Junta here, but I feel like he's not going to carry it for much longer. Because I also don't think, like, if Yohei to me is like a chase guy, like, I don't think he should be a guy that carries the title for like a while, for a long time, you know?
Well, who's he going to drop it to if he doesn't hear?
Could drop it back to Ada. Or how about the horror option? Drops it back to Hayata.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what I was thinking. Cannot hold out, but we'll see.
After Hayata turns on Rattles and joins Team 2000X.
So, and then the main event is the GHC Heavyweight title survival three-way match, which, I mean, I'm still assuming Ozawa's retaining.
Yeah, I mean, like, the only way I can see him not retaining is if there's some sort of swerve or, like, he gets kicked out of Team 2000X, and then one of the other two is like taking over the faction. But like, I think that would be stupid to do.
Real Suzuki Gun hours would be Sugera joining Team 2000X.
That is immediately what I was thinking of as well. I'm like, that. Let's not do that. That did that basically almost killed the company last time. Let's not do that.
Yep. So that is Pro Wrestling Noah. And so we have to move on to All Japan Pro Wrestling because we've got, oh, a few shows to catch up on. our marathon, like first two thirds of the tournament last episode. So, but we pick up on May 6th at Korakuen Hall in front of 1,187 fans, which is their biggest Korakuen of the tournament. I know people have been pointing out these Korakuen numbers and they are down from what they've been doing, but these are actually slightly over, I think, what they've been doing it for these like block shows at Korakuen in the last couple of years.
Yeah, like the for some reason the Champion Carnival hasn't really been a draw in Korakuen like these last couple of years. Like they've never done like blow away numbers for these like Champion Carnival shows there.
Yeah. So but I don't know. 1187 for a midweek show is decent, I think. For that.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's like as long as you don't drop it like below 1,000, I think it's still like a fine number. And again, it's in the middle of the week as well. Like there's only so much. I mean, I guess technically you run like a rematch of a recent Triple Crown match on top, but still, like I don't think this was an amazing card otherwise. You know?
No. And plus, it's a rematch of a match they just did.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So we start off. Ren Ayabe defeated Hokuto Omori in 10:33 with a death roulette. Omori, you know, this is a nice little match just in terms of I wasn't expecting much, and Omori decided to put his working boots on in the last half of the tournament.
It was one of those matches where I went in and I was like, okay, I have kind of dreading this one a little bit, and it didn't end up being like a not bad match, basically.
Yeah, I mean, Omori just got serious.
I mean, it kind of became obvious then towards the end why he became more serious. But yeah, he definitely, like, he's probably the biggest difference between, like, first half of the tournament and second half of the tournament.
Yeah. And then Rei Saito defeated Madoka Kakuta in 16:55 with the Aizubin. And again, I thought Rei's first half of the tournament, not that great, although some of that was in part to his opponents, because obviously both Saitos are opponent-dependent. But I mean, Kakuta, one of the MVPs of the tournament, no question. I thought this was really good. Although neither's best match in the tournament.
I will agree as well. The other notable thing here, though, as well, was that this was Kakuta's first match post heel turn.
Yes, and he was like doing all the eye rakes and everything like that.
Yeah, which is again, it's kind of weird where it's like you kind of have to watch like Dragon Gate to know that. Or to like follow it at least, right? Because otherwise you're like, okay, why is this guy acting like a heel now? Like literally between like two like tournament shows. But yeah, I have to say, I think I do like him more as a heel. Like I think I actually like this heel work quite a bit here.
Yes.
Following matches as well.
And then Kuma Rashi defeated Shitaro Oshino in 13:46 with the diving senton in the result that I was not completely surprised at, given that they had the match back in February that Oshino won. These two are obviously, you know, I think they debuted against each other and obviously, you know, good chemistry. I was just baffled that Arashi finished with more points than Ishido in this tournament.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, you can be happy. Ishino is getting a push now, so, you know.
Yes, we'll talk more about that later. And then semi-main event, Hideki Suzuki defeated Davey Boy Smith Jr. in 12:48 to win the block. With the European clutch. And look, I know mat wrestling is not for everyone. I do enjoy it. But this was definitely one of Smith's best matches in the tournament, though.
I will agree. they actually, like, tried properly and everything. But I will say he was still one of the, like, weaker guys overall in the entire tournament.
But Smith, another guy with a better back half of the tournament.
Yes, I will agree to that. But, like, still, overall, I'm like, I think I'm ready to move on. From David Boy Smith. Yeah.
No question. Well, we'll talk about who the new foreign ace will be. and then in the main event, Kento Miyahara defeated Jun Saito in 20:36 with the shutdown German suplex hold. Very good match. Better than their Triple Crown match from like a month ago or two months ago now, maybe. Not as good as last year's Carnival final, but also makes their Triple Crown match all the more baffling because it would have gone up over so much better if it had even been just this match.
Yeah, I agree.
You know,
I fully agree.
I know what happened.
Maybe they had just had an off night. Like it might just be they had an off night.
I don't have any other real explanation for that. But I mean, it was. I don't know. I mean, on the Carnival grading curve, I suppose this was not the best night, but a better night.
Yeah, I mean, like, we'll get to that when we give our like overall tournament thoughts. But I think it's a bit emblematic that this was one of the better cards of the whole tournament, or better shows of the whole tournament.
So then we go to the double shot in Sapporo at the APA Hotel and Resort. So Ray Setter defeated Hokuto Omori at 8:59 with the barbecue bomb. Again, Omori put on his working shoes. You didn't know how this was going to go when you saw it, like the cards announced, but you know, short, but you know, decent for what I was expecting out of these.
And like similar with the Renayaba match, I'm like, okay, I don't know like how this is going to go with Hokuto and everything, and if this is going to end up comedy. And it's not. No, it was just this really good, like straightforward match. And it's kind of was part of the like Ray Saito, like, I think basically he didn't like basically after the halfway point, I think he literally won like every single match, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Block B, Aig LeBlanc defeated Ryuki Honda in 11:31 with the Desert Eagle. Another good match. Blanc really found himself. I've always liked Blanc, and I think Blanc from the get-go of the tournament showed that he had made big improvements since the last time he was in All Japan. But he started really feeling himself in the second half of this tournament, and this is another pretty good match.
Yeah, and I will say that, I don't know, I think Honda might be my MVP of the whole tournament.
He might be. Well, that's a controversial statement because there's also people that don't like Honda's dick, shall we say.
Well, I don't. I feel like there's other people in this company that are way worse.
I agree that he's way worse. There are other people in this company way more guilty of that stuff than Honda.
Yeah, but, yeah, and like when he gets serious, like he lays his shit in like real good.
Yeah, and then semi-main event: Renayabe Block B defeated Madoka Kakuta in 12:44 with the Death Roulette. And you know, Paul, on the grand scale of Renayabe singles matches since he's been in All Japan, this is probably got a rank up of one of the best. There's not many. Yeah.
No, that's the.
I mean, I would give his best singles matches like the Honda Royal Road Tournament final, and the match against Aoyagi for the Triple Crown, which was Aoyagi's might have been Aoyagi's best match in that reign.
Somehow, that's maybe still baffling.
and this one maybe, I think. It's funny because, you know, we're talking about is Ayabe really starting to lay it in more. I agree he is, but it's still not sufficient. He had like this smirk and fire, relative, I should say, fire in his eyes. He looked like he was trying, but that was the best that was coming out. I don't know.
Yeah, I still think his best run ever was like the Real World Tag League run with Shuji Ishikawa. Like, I don't think... Yeah. We've ever gotten anything better. Like, I think that might be the thing where it's like, maybe, I mean, I think he will still be in the Champion Carnival and everything, but I feel like the company might be thinking about him as more than that. But I think you should just make him like a tag guy. I think that might be the best role for him.
Yeah, stick him and have him and Honda win the tag titles. I think that might be the best bet. And then the main event, speaking of matches that were better than their Triple Crown match, Yuma Aoyagi defeated Yuma Anzai in 17:48 with the jackknife hold. You know, apart from the jackknife hold finish, which I don't have a problem with, especially in a champion carnival match, even one with as high stakes as this one, because Aoyagi would have been eliminated if he had lost this.
Yeah.
This is a really good match, one of the best of the tournament, and better than their Triple Crown match from last August or September, whatever it was.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, that match is still one of the most disappointing matches of last year. Yeah, this was much better, and I agree. Like, to me, this was, like, one of the best matches of the entire tournament. And it also helped that, like, again, Yuma kept it straight, too.
Aoyagi was feeling himself in Sapporo.
He was. maybe he doesn't do comedy when it gets too cold.
And then so we go to the next day at the APA Hotel and Resort Sapporo in front of 625 fans, so 113 more. The final block night of Block B, so a lot on the line here. Mike DiVecchio defeated Ren Iave in 10-26 with the triple springboard cutter. I thought that we were heading for a styles clash here, and I thought they did as well as you could expect.
Yeah, but it was still one of those things where it's like, I don't think Iave is a good base. Like, he's too lanky for that. So I think that kind of hurt the match.
Yeah. I thought it could have been worse.
It definitely could have been worse, but it definitely was notable that, like, there's definitely things catching high flies is definitely not one of those things that Iave is, like, probably ever going to be good at, unless he somehow, like, gets on steroids or something.
Especially not someone the size of Mike D.
Exactly, yeah. That makes it even harder for him, yeah.
And then Hokuto Omori defeated Yuma Aoyagi in 11:47 with a narcissist roll. And speaking of guys turning it up, this is really good. And they decided to actually, you know, both guys had been turning it up. And this was good, big surprise upset, though, which I always thought was going to happen when I saw this match scheduled on that night.
Yeah, that was the most obvious one, yeah.
Yeah. It really delivered.
Yeah, no, I agree as well. Also, like, setting up the the six-man tag match and everything. And I will say this is probably like the best hook to singles match since he had the triple crown match with Kento.
It was against Aoyagi.
Yeah, sorry, it was against Aoyagi. Yeah.
And
it seems like Aoyagi is just his like best opponent in singles matches.
I think it's true, and it's funny because they're the guys that get the most heat for the comedy, but then they...
they don't do it when they do singles matches against each other for some reason. They just whistle it straight.
And then Block B, Ryuki Hana defeated Madoka Kakuta in 14:28 with the final vent. Love this. Mm-hmm. These were some chunky boys slapping, chopping, and lariating each other. And I did like the end where they just went to lariat each other, but eventually Kakuta couldn't get back up, and then Honda finished him off, and that came to an end of Kakuta's really great champion carnival, I thought.
Yeah, it's weird that he lost all of his matches after his heel turn, but no, I thought this was great as well. This was, I probably, if I'll think about it, maybe my second or third favorite match of the whole tournament.
Okay.
I thought this was great, just like really good, like hard-hitting action and everything, and... Again, that's one of those reasons why I think like Honda is like my MVP for the whole tournament.
And then in the main event for all of the marbles, although I don't know what would have happened if Anza had won, because Honda clinched first. No, I think Anza would have gotten second if he'd won.
Because then he would have been at 10 as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Ray Sato defeated Yuma Anzai in 18 minutes with the Eisbein. And while I did not expect this to be as great as their Triple Crown match last year, this was still pretty dang good. I think these two guys have the best chemistry in the company, just in terms of the differences. Anzai is your young, you know, ace, good-looking guy, can fly a little bit fast, and he can take bumps. He bumps like a madman for a guy in his position on the card. And then Ray Sato is a bear. And it was Suit Williams. I always have to give credit. Was the first person that pointed this out. And so now I always compare Ray Sato in singles matches to a bear. And it did not disappoint. It's like that dynamic I love so much. And this is another great match. Might be my favorite of the tournament. It was either that or Anzai and Honda.
Yeah, that I think that's my number one. Yeah.
But I mean, awesome and worth watching. And maybe setting something up in the future also.
Yeah. I think I can compare like Ray versus Anzai to. It kind of has like similar energy as like the early like Suwama versus Kento matches.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. When it was like kind of like early pre-ace like Kento. Before basically they just became like equal matches when it was like kind like when they had that vibe as well where it was just like Suwama like. Pawing at like Kento and Kento just kind of trying to like find ways to survive, and like this felt very similar to that.
Well, see, that's an interesting comparison, but I like Suwama is a much smoother worker. I, in this comic, yes. I really do like Saito's sloppiness against Anzai because it just looks like Anzai is like getting hit with these crazy looking moves and dying.
he's gonna be feeling for some of those bumps eventually, but like I'm gonna take it like while he can still do it. So like
is there a main eventer in a Japanese men's promotion that bumps like Anzai anymore?
Right now.
Yeah,
I mean Okada was kind of like that, like early on in his reign.
Naito,
like,
but obviously.
Yeah, you know, well, yeah, you see how both of those got. Yeah, well, like they would like take these kind of crazy bumps in like six man tag team matches on road to shows.
Yeah,
I guess maybe Ozawa a little bit.
Yeah,
like he's taking some crazy. Like we didn't talk about it, but like Kaito when he took that like flat back bump to the outside, where he just let go of like the top rope, that was crazy too.
Yeah, but Anzai is definitely up there for that.
Yeah, he does it with higher frequency. That's the thing.
Yes, that's the thing. Even both because he's both like a singles and a tag wrestler and doing that.
He's bumping for juniors.
Yeah. So that closed out the tournament, and then Ray and Honda go from Block B, which sets up our final show on May 18th at Odo City General Gymnasium in front of 2,280 fans, which was down from last year, but they were also at Yokohama Buntai, which is the new building. I think they or Stardom was one of the first companies to run there.
I think Stardom got the first one. I think Stardom got the first one, but then All Japan was, not even a week later after
that. Yeah. But this was also, I think this was down from T-Hawk in the
show. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
By like 200 people. So,
I mean, I think that might just be like, basically, I mean, with T-Hawk versus Shino, you knew the match, right? Like there were no semifinals. Yeah.
Yes, that's the thing. But also, T-Hawk versus Shino had Kento and Anzai versus Naito and Bushi.
I forgot that. I mean, if you're only 200 people down from like a show that had Naito, you know, I think that's a good number in that case.
Yeah, I think that's respectable. So the first match on the show was actually a dark match, but I made sure to tune into this because I watched the show live, Paul, and I wasn't going to pass this up because I've got a few things to say about... they did 24-37 for the 2023 Champion Carnival Finals. So less than 200 down. So that's not bad considering what you had on that. Plus, T-Hawk and Ishino aren't draws. They're not super big draws. They've been sort of small draws at points at Korakuen. Is the best I can compliment them, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like their match, like their Wrestle One title match drew like gangbusters, basically.
No, but it drew for Wrestle One.
It drew by Wrestle One standards, yes. I mean, it was like a really big angle and everything, so it makes sense.
So we start. Taishin Nagao defeated Shota Kofuji in 6:01 with a crab hold. I quite like this for a opening young wrestler match because I think Kofuji only debuted in December, right? Mm-hmm. So it's nice to see these guys. Kofuji was on one of those New Age Chronicle shows, and I looked him up. He was training in Osaka style wrestling, so he's took the Shinkansen up to Tokyo for the show. And Paul, I think they should keep using him.
Absolutely, yeah. That's what I thought as well.
Big on him. I mean, he's like, still very young, but he's just got the look and the fundamentals. And I think they should
do the thing they did with Rising Hayato, where he also came in as like an outsider, and then they were like, you know what? Why don't you just keep coming back? Also, so I don't know if you agree with me on this. I think after this match, I think Taishin Nagao's future is as a heel.
Really?
Yeah, just because if you saw him here, right, like where he like immediately went for like Shota's throat and everything in the pre-match and just like antagonized him. And then after the match when he like stomped on him.
Yeah.
Like I think he actually has good heel energy, which I did not expect.
No, because he looks like such the plucky little baby face in all the other matches because he's so much smaller than everyone else, even the other juniors.
Yeah. So, but I like after this match, I'm like, you know what? Maybe you're going to be like, I was like, oh, he's going to be like, you know, plucky junior underdog baby face. But like, I'm like, you know what? I think you could just be an asshole. I think that would be a really good role for you. I think you would do really well at that.
We'll see. That's an interesting point. I mean, you know, actually, if I sort of think back, there have been a lot of like heelish characters in Japan that haven't been particularly large guys, although they tend to have been a little rotund.
I mean, he can always eat more chunko and put on some weight.
Yeah. But I think the point is, though, I think Nagao has got like a good future ahead of him, whatever path he takes.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, it's crazy. Like, because I think for me, I will just always compare him to like Oda Shima, because they kind of came out around the same time and
I have some similarities. I think Oda Shima is better. I do.
He's better right now. Yes.
Yeah. We'll see where that develops.
But he also had like a leg up in terms of like he came in with more like experience than Nagao.
Yeah, because he already like Tamon Honda. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So the first official match of the show, the semifinal, Kento Miyahara defeated Ryuki Han in 9:53 with the horizontal cradle. I don't know what to say other than this is a sub 10-minute get your shit in Kento match. Mm-hmm. It was good.
Basically, yeah.
Don't get me wrong, but there's not much to say about this because you could play this match out in your head.
Yeah. It's like spot by spot, basically. It's just like, okay, Kento's like, okay, I need to get all of my spots in under 10 minutes. Sure, I can do that.
Yeah, and reverse some final vents and stuff.
Yeah. So,
you know, perfectly acceptable opener.
It was very fun, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not shocked at the results, although it's interesting because I did think they, because of Honda's track record against Kento in tournaments, especially Royal Road, I think they did leave a certain level of who could win this still open.
Yeah. I mean, I could have seen it if they wanted to do like Saito versus like Honda as the final, but it just made more sense to basically like redo the Champion Carnival final from last year, but with the other brother.
Yeah, it did. So the next semifinal, Rei Seto defeated Hideki Suzuki in 1:49 with the KO in what could be the second best match of the show. Paul,
it might be like one of the best matches of the whole tournament.
So in an awesome callback to the Jun versus Hideki match, he just before the bell puts Rei in the same sleeper hold. Rei fights out and then just proceeds to slap the shit out of Suzuki the KO, which is incredible.
Yeah. Hideki also sold that like death as well. Like him just like lying in the corner, just dead basically.
When Hideki does want to sell, he's great.
Yeah.
And good company man, Hideki Suzuki getting squashed by one of the rising.
Absolutely squashed, yeah. Which, to be fair, kind of made me doubt the outcome of the main event, at least like a little bit. I was still I think Rei is going to win. But normally if like the guy that like gets the quick win in the semifinal, right? Like that's generally the guy that like then loses the main. But so like I at least went into the match with like, okay, like only 95% certainty that Rei was going to win.
Yeah. But I mean, it was a great spectacle. What do you think of the semi format? I didn't love it, especially because they do the same thing on the Royal Road, which kind of makes sense. I just think you should know you either do a separate semi show or you don't do the semis is my thing.
Yeah. No, I agree with that one. Like, I think you do want to go into the kind of final show knowing what the final is. Like, if you want to do, like, I don't know, like, if you want to tag on, like, another Kurken, right, and you do, like, the semifinals there, I think that would be a better idea than, like, doing them in the openers here. Because then at least you can sell that main event to, like, an audience.
Or do more tiebreakers. I really enjoyed, in 2019, when they did Jake and Naoya Nomura, and they brought them out at the end of the show to do a tiebreaker.
Yeah.
You
remember that? Yeah, I mean, they've done that for the Real World Tag League as well.
Yeah, I like that format instead of just the semis. If you're not gonna do a whole semi show, I kind of like that one too.
Yeah, like I think like when they did it for the Real World Tag League, I think that because that was my example as well, where like the team, like in that case it was the team that won like the Quake like match early in the night. If you remember, like that was like Violent Giants against the everybody's favorite tag team, Tajiri and why am I blanking on his name now? Kai, yeah.
Kai? Yeah.
Yeah. When he came out in Joker makeup and Tsubame just choked Tajiri out in like a minute or so.
Oh, memories.
Still, but that might also be one of my other favorite like quick matches. That was great too.
I get the vibe that Suwama does not like stupid bullshit, from the choking Tajiri out in Joker makeup to squashing or doing the Jake Lee, basically humiliating Jake Lee.
Oh yeah, he ended Jake Lee's All Japan career, basically. Where like it literally started out as like a thing of like you're so shit as a heel, I'm gonna turn heel and ruin the company for 6 months.
And he did. And he also ruined Jake Lee. Sort of. Yeah.
Well, did he? Because then he went to Noah, became champion immediately, and then he went to New Japan.
Jake fell upwards.
Yeah, somehow.
And he's on his way back soon, I think.
Yeah, somebody has to beat Goto. You know? I mean, that's the thing. Like, I think it's completely unreasonable to think that he's going to win the title in New Japan, but also it's Jake Lee. Somehow he will end up as champion. Somehow I will be at the Dome in January and Jake Lee will be the champion.
You'll be in the Dome to watch Jake Lee versus Shota Umino in the main event.
I might be sitting ringside for that as well. Please, no.
So then we get into the rest of the card, which we had Kengo Mishima, Madoka Kakuta, Shuji Kondo got there in time. But he was going to. And Sego Tachibana defeated Davey Boy Smith Jr., Bren Ayabe, Atsuki Aoyagi, and Ryo Inoue, with Kakuta pinning Inoue with the rolling lariat. This was just to get everybody on the show. Tag match, but it was perfectly fine.
Yeah. After the match. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This was Kakuta getting his heat back, I guess, so to speak, after going on a losing streak after turning heel in Dragon Gate. And he said he hated All Japan, but isn't he also talking about how he hates Dragon Gate?
Yeah, I think he actually said that he was going to come back, I think, with
That's
all
what
Dragon
I thought he
vibe,
said
basically. Yeah, it was basically the vibe. It's like, I hate you, but so I'm never going to like leave you alone, essentially, I think is what he said.
Which is good because it could really use it.
Yeah. I'm wondering if this is going to lead to like maybe like a Z-Brats invasion or something like that. That would actually be kind of cool.
Yeah.
This promotion needs some heels, let's be realistic.
Yes, it does.
It does.
Just, well, like, any bodies, just get some people off the street and put them in the ring, it would help.
Yeah. I mean, maybe not like voodoo murderers, but like, some sort of heel.
I'm willing to be generous with the kind of indie scummers they bring in at this point, though.
Yeah.
For the prestigious AJPW TV six-man tag team titles and also Fuminori Abe's 10th anniversary debut match, Hoko Tomori, Kuma Rashi, and Takashi Yoshida defeated Yuma Aoyagi, Fuminori Abe, and Hikaru Saito in 15:35 with the Narcissus pressed on Omori from Aoyagi. The champions fall on their fourth defense, and these are now the 11th champions of this title. Oh my God.
Somehow, I feel like we've had more.
Yeah. Hokuto Gun has finally done it. Look, this was the comedy that you were expecting. Although, again, guess what? The end was good because Mori and Aoyagi did the final stretch, and they have their chemistry, their weird comedy canceling each other out chemistry. And I mean, I can't say like this, you got to go watch this or anything, but it ended on a strong note, we'll say. But I guess the question is now, is Yuma going to get his heat back from this guy or what?
Maybe in a Royal Road or something.
Yeah.
What's
he going to do? He was also the tag champion, so that's why they probably took the title off of him.
Exactly. Yeah. And he's going to challenge like for the All Asia tag titles with his brother as well.
Yeah.
So I think if he'll be fine. But, and yeah, I think it was time to like move. Like, I really hope that like he tones down the comedy now that he like lost these titles, and maybe we'll like just like quietly bury like Baka no Jidai.
It was probably the right thing to get these titles on Hokuto Gun, so now they can go be in the Hokuto verse and not disturb everyone else.
Exactly. You can do those in like undercards and everything. It's fine. Like, go maybe to like some indie promotions as well, scout some people.
But it does mean that more Yoshida. But we
it does mean more Yoshida, that. Yeah. Yeah.
If you joined Hokuto Gun, it meant more Yoshida beyond just the Steaming Carnival, but whatever. You know, they're just what these titles are, what they are. So, you know, you keep them off in their own corner, it's fine. And Hokuto, I suppose, just finally deserves a title. Well, you know, he's been All Asia Tag Title Champ before.
Yeah.
But Hokuto Gun deserves these titles.
Exactly. Like that, they're made for them. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Perfect guys for these.
And then, We have Shotaro Shino, Zion, and Dan Tamara defeating Jun Saito, Mr. Saito, Naruki Doi, and Senor Saito in 11:03 with the Zion spear, which is such a weird... I don't know. It looks like he just grazes them with his shoulder.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of spears look like shit.
Yeah. On Zion, on Senor Saito, I mean, I didn't have much expectations going into this, and it was perfectly fine. And then it looks like Ashino and Zion formed a tag team.
I called it a monkey's paw moment where it's Ashino gets a push. Yay. It's a tag team with Zion. Oh, no.
Well, we'll see what happens because to move ahead, jump ahead a bit, this tag title challenge is on June 1st. We still don't even know if Zion's going to be in All Japan beyond June 1st.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say something crazy and say that, look, give Zion a spin until the end of the year and then make a decision on him.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you have like better options given what we're going to talk about later as well, just looking at the end of the run sheet there.
Yeah. Well, I figured I would leave that till the end once
fair.
Other stuff out of the way.
No, that's fair.
And so, Zion, new foreign ace of the company. And third from the top, All Asia Tag Team Championships. Rising Hayato and Yuma Anzai defeated Mike DiVecchio and Aug LeBlanc in 16:38 with the Sid Vicious from Hayato on Blanc to make their sixth defense of the titles. I don't care what anyone says, Paul. I love this.
Yeah, I mean,
the critique. And yes, Blanc did botch a move quite badly. But it doesn't matter because they brought a different energy to the carnival and to this match. And it's, you know, a nice change. And they went out there and tried to give a great final performance, as we'll talk about later.
Yeah, and the crowd ate it up as well.
Oh, the crowd was so into this once it started getting going and everything like that. And also, Hayato got a win over someone that was just in the Champion Carnival.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, you got a heavyweight as well. So.
Yeah, I thought Blanc and Hayato actually worked pretty well together. So I thought this was smart booking to finish these guys up, really.
Yeah, if now that we know that like they were on their way out, like I think, yeah, that's exactly what you do. Like you do like some kind of crazy spot fest like you did here with them, and then like you have them put over like your own guys that you're gonna keep booking forward, which is exactly what you should do. So
yeah. See, the thing is I under different circumstances, I totally would have brought both these guys back.
Absolutely. Yeah, no. It seems like that's not going to be in the cards.
No, they bring a different energy and they're a lot of fun and they got themselves over. Like, I don't know what else. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like because you bring these guys in, everyone's going to start doing indie terrific matches in All Japan or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Like that.
It's just two guys.
It's two guys. Like, it's two guys. And like, you can be happy. They're gone now. So you don't have to worry about this anymore. And yeah.
You just
We might see them in Noah.
Enjoy your Zion matches, everybody. Semi-main PWF World Junior Heavyweight Championship. Seki Yoshioka defeated Musashi in 23:46 with the Crash Driver. Musashi fails in his third defense, and Yoshioka is the 71st champion. And look, I was like, okay, this is going to be a good match. These guys are both great. Big fan of Yoshioka. They totally exceeded expectations and were the best match of the show. They got a lot of time. Yeah. And, you know, look, from the bell, this started off good. Two great wrestlers doing a junior match and a title match. Good match. And then it just went up a level when they decided to just pummel each other with the wrist control. And I suppose you can make a critique that they went to a little too many near falls, 2.9s. I know some people will, not specifically about this match, but people will have that sort of critique about matches. But that's the only thing I can really say. This was great. This is an amazing crowning of Yoshioka because they did the whole thing. It's like these are former tag team partners. And also Yoshioka signed with All Japan in May 2013, but then proceeded to jump with everyone the month later to wrestle.
Yeah. How did that work out for him?
Well, it's hard to say because of how.
I mean, to be fair, he was kind of like the first guy to like join in the whole like Strong Hearts like turn, right? Like he
was
like the Wrestle One guy that turned, but I don't know. For some reason, that never led anywhere either. And then he just spent a bunch of time in Noah spinning his wheels.
Guy too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I forgot about that.
He was in a Junior Battle of Glory. Did he either win it or went to the finals against Iwamoto?
I think he was beaten by Iwamoto in the finals, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, he was totally misusing Noah. He got a V0 title defense?
He was literally just a guy to transition it to, I think, either from Hayato to Hayata.
Until Neo came in.
Yeah, yeah, he was. I was so baffled when they gave him that short reign. And again, I think he's maybe he's not the best junior in All Japan, but I would say he's third at worst.
Yeah, at worst. You can make a case he's the best.
Yeah, you can make a case he's the best. I think it's basically him, Rising Hayato, and Atsuki, basically.
Yeah, for sure.
So, but no, I also thought this was awesome as well. With the near falls, I don't think so, because I think this show needed something like this as well.
Yeah, for sure.
It just needed that kind of epic match as well. And this is really what that was. And I actually got more and more hyped with every single kick out. And then even when Musashi kicked out of the crash driver for the first time, I was oh shit, is he actually going to do it? And then Yoshioka just pummels him some more and then hits him with another crash drive and pins him, which again, that was a very definitive finish as well. And I agree. This is definitely the best match of the entire show. If this was a tournament match, this might have been the best match of the tournament.
Yes,
it's either that one or Anza and Honda. It's basically I think would be neck to neck for me.
Yeah, and then V1 Dan comes out. I feel like.
I mean, hopefully, I have PTSD. I'm like, oh no, are they gonna do another V0?
No, I think Yoshioka is winning because.
Yeah, if it had been Atsuki or High or Rising coming out, I would have been oh no, but Dan, you can beat Dan, it's fine.
Well, the thing is though, they finally gave Dan his title reign, but it feels like they shuffled him back down as the junior jobber again.
Yeah, it's weird, and it also doesn't because I'm okay, is he moving up to heavyweight, and then he just never ever does. It's very weird how they're booking him.
Is he, do you think he's in a semi doghouse state because he's clearly Suwama's boy, but they can't punish him because Suwama's still technically with the company?
Maybe. So he's
because he's on every Evolution show.
Yeah. He's the new Yusuke Okada getting punished for Akiyama leaving.
But not really because Suwama's still there technically.
Yeah. It's very weird. I don't fully get what they're doing with him.
Yeah. But I'm looking forward to the match.
Oh no, the match is gonna be awesome. Yeah.
And then main event, Champion Carnival Finals. Rei Saito defeated Kento Miyahara in 24-22 with the barbecue bomb. It's funny, it felt like this match was a 27-minute match. It wasn't bad. It just, and I think it was probably better than the Kento versus June match for the Triple Crown. Mm-hmm. But it did not live up to Champion Carnival Finals expectations or what I was just expecting out of these two. I don't know. It's hard to pinpoint on this one. A bit of a styles clash. I think if Rei was capable of moving a little faster, it would help. It would have helped. And that's not a knock against him. That's what you expect. But I don't know if Kento necessarily always will tailor to. Sometimes Kento will tailor to his opponents when these opponents is like Taru or Abdullah Kobayashi. But he did not do so much here for Rei other than some of the arm work early on.
Yeah. Yeah, there was something missed. It wasn't a bad match, but it was definitely I'll have to think for a while until I can think of a Champion Carnival final that was weaker than this. Because even in the god-awful 2020 Carnival, at least you had that Zeus versus Kento match in the final, which was, I think that was my match of the year for that year.
Jake versus Kento and Empty Korakuen was still better than
this. Yeah. I really have to dig into dig for the archives of the Carnival to think of a final that was weaker than this. And again, not a bad match. It's just the Champion Carnival final basically almost every single year lands on my match of the year list. And this one won't. This one won't be on there.
No. So after the match, of course, Rei cut a very impassioned promo. Talking about how much he loved All Japan, but also brought up, I think I was reading a translation, he talked about how He didn't know if he was going to be able to make it as a pro wrestler, but his brother kept encouraging him and told him not to quit. Mm-hmm. And then June obviously came on for the face-off and everything like that. So I thought that that was a really emotional moment. Ray really pouring his heart out, it felt like, into that promo, even if I couldn't totally understand it and everything like that. And you set up that big match. But before we get to that preview, let's talk about, we'll finish the show with the preview of June 1st, but let's talk about what we've already been hinting at.
Maybe just really quick, just some overall thoughts on the carnival, maybe.
Oh, yes.
I would say, like, it wasn't a bad tournament, but, like, I described it in the Discord as, like, a high-floor, low-ceiling tournament.
Sure.
Like, there wasn't... I mean,
it's about what... the blocks were about what I expected, given the talent.
Yeah.
It's just the final under-delivered, and that's the big thing.
Because that's like, I will also say, like, generally, like, a lot of times the carnival is also very backloaded, where it starts off kind of slow and it gets better towards the end. And this one was kind of like that as well, but not to like the same scale as the other ones.
Right.
Like, it has been in like previous years. So, like I will say overall, to me, it was an underwhelming tournament. Like, not a bad one, but just a disappointing one.
Yeah, that's fair, especially with how the final one.
Yeah.
MVP. Ryuki Honda, Yuma Anzai, Madoka Kakuta.
Yeah.
And like we got to give special consideration for Kengo Mashimo and Hideki.
Actually, yes, yeah. It's not like Kengo was the early MVP. He was like on like the first like four shows or whatever, he like delivered every single time.
You know, Kento was good.
Mm-hmm. But it was also like Kento, like there wasn't anything like special there really.
Yeah. And then Yuma Aoyagi and Hokuto Omori decided to turn up in the last few shows.
Junior,
let's be honest.
Also, please, no more, like, if Takeshi Yoshida has to come back, like, he should have like a strict time limit for his like singles matches of like 8 minutes.
Yes, ideally he's only kept in six-man tags,
but... yeah, ideally you don't do singles matches, but if you have to do them, they should be 15 minutes.
Yeah. All right, so then we go to the news that came out like 2 days later, a day later. Mike DiVecchio and Aigle LeBlanc, and I'll throw Zozaya into this because he was in NOAH. They're all going to WWE probably, and WWE Europe is back on. So thoughts about this European, Paul?
Did they also announce that there is going to be a proper WWE Europe?
Yeah, it's been reported. It sounds like it's back on.
Oh, because I thought they were all just like going to go to like the warehouse in Florida, basically. But I could see WWE trying like Europe again. I don't think it's going to work. Like, I just same as last time. Like, it didn't work last time either.
Rumors. NXT Europe is reportedly set to launch later this year.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, just going to fail like it did last time. Like, that's really it. Like, I don't like the thing is, they're probably going to hoover up a bunch of talent again. But like the promotions that got through it last time, that's the other thing. Yes, it did kill like some momentum for like the European scene, but I think it's somewhat overstated how much damage they actually did last time around.
Well, WXW had a deal with them and they survived just fine, right?
They're just the same as they've always been. Like, they literally are like they're like nobody ever talks, like people talk about like, Progress took such a big fall, but like Progress took such a big fall because everybody got canceled. All of their main eventers got canceled because they're sex pests. Like that, like the whole speaking out thing would have happened like regardless of WWE coming into Europe. Like that would have always like smitten down Progress. And then otherwise, like in terms of like, yeah, there was some promotions that went under, but it's not like there was this big like cull of like promotion. Like Progress is smaller, but like they're still around in some financial trouble. But again, that always would have happened. RevPro is doing better than ever, really. And they're not going to be affected because their talent pool, like they're still going to have like a talent pool from like New Japan and AEW. And so they're going to be fine.
Yeah, like now they have a relationship with AEW.
Yeah. So, and then again, WXW is not going to be affected by this because this, maybe they're going to take like a couple of guys, but there's also some other guys in their promotion that like they're just not going to touch and they're just going to like roll on like they always have. Yeah. So, like, same with GWF as well. Like, I don't think there's much there. And then I think it, like, they'll try again for a little while. The shows will go nowhere. People won't watch them because they're probably going to, like, charge extortionate prices. because that's what they're doing with like these shows that are running in Europe right now, right? Yeah. But that works because those are like proper like Raws and pay-per-views, so people are going to be fine paying those prices. They're not going to pay those prices for like a house show with people that like mainstream WWE fans have never heard of.
Yeah.
So they're gonna try this for like, I don't know, 5 years, then it's gonna go out of business again, and then a bunch of people will be released back onto the indies. That's it.
I don't think any of these guys, these three that we've talked about, really have any shot on the main roster.
The thing is, the one I'm disappointed about is Uzziah.
Yeah.
Because I think he is the one, to me, is the one with the most talent. But he needs some more seasoning. Like, I think he could have been a main roster guy if he had, like, stayed on the indies, had gotten, like, a Japan run, like, maybe made a bit of a name for himself in the US as well, maybe gotten some, like AEW interest and everything, right? Because now he's just going to be, like, a body on, like maybe he makes NXT, but maybe he also gets stuck on Evolve.
Yep.
Which, that's just the death sentence, basically. Like, I think all three of these might end up on Evolve, which, yeah. I mean, it's like ending up on NXT Level Up, which we saw what happens when you end up there with Jiro. Maybe one of them manages to work his way out of that one, but, like, I don't know.
I love Mike D, but I gotta be blunt on his WWE prospects. He's too short, and yep. They'll tell him to tone down his style.
And his knees are going already as well.
Yes, his knees are going. He was already probably injured, but then he also probably exacerbated it with that when he got caught in the ropes. His ropes in the, there's a tag title match we forgot to mention, right?
And which again happened to him right before he. I watched a WXW show where these two were like Isla Blonde and like Mike D were like having a match, and Mike D got caught in the ropes there too. On a dive.
Yeah.
So, like this was obviously always going to happen, right? With a guy his size doing all of these, like, moves. Like, this was always going to be his fate that eventually his knees were just going to, like, pop. And I don't know, like, what we've heard from, like, the way, like, WWE, like, trains people, like, in their warehouse. Like, that's not going to do his knees any favor either.
No. Aguila Blanc, I guess we will just touch on because we touched on the other two. Mm-hmm. I know they're gonna unmask him, right? Probably.
Yeah, very likely.
In do you think they'll unmask him in NXT Europe or no?
Maybe. I mean, it depends, right? Like if these guys are just like be NXT Europe or if they're just going to like Florida.
Yeah.
If he's going to Florida, I think he's like not even like I think he's just coming out without a mask.
Yeah, I think for sure.
That's just going to be the case. Yeah, I could see them maybe doing like him with a mask for like a couple of shows and then like not even do like a mask versus mask match, but just deciding that they're just gonna like repackage him with like a different gimmick. So that's what I could see happen there. But yeah, again with him also, I don't really know what his prospects are as well. It doesn't really strike me like a great promo, like even aside from the whole like language issue. Like, I don't, like, speaks from, English. Like, what I've seen of him, he doesn't, you know.
He does speak some English.
He did, no, that's not the problem. I'm more talking that he doesn't really have any charisma.
Right, yeah. We'll see. I could see him sort of being okay at, a mid-carder to a certain level.
In, like, NXT Europe, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I don't think any of them, maybe Zozaya, if he gets lucky, will get to the main roster. I don't think the other two have a chance.
Well, it is what it is. So let's finish with the preview for June 1st, Sendai Sun Plaza. And Paul, the show is telling strong. We have premium seat sold out, special ringside sold out, second floor front row seats sold out, and the first floor reserved seating, second floor reserved seats, and third floor reserved seats all have the triangle with only a few left. This is listed as holding 2,710. I don't know what that is for a wrestling show, but Paul, if they hit 2,500, which I don't think is out of the realm of possibility, you got to call that a big success.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, this is literally like the whole thing that they've been building to, right? Like why we're doing this whole like Saito singles push thing. And like, it has to be a success because they've built so much like on this. Like they basically like it's the thing like literally for like the last half year essentially like that the entire promotion is built around is like building to this match.
Yeah. So we start with the singles match: Hideki Suzuki versus Taishin Nagao.
Yeah, I mean that could be really fun, actually. Yeah. I mean, it might go the same length as like Hideki Suzuki's last singles match.
I hope not. You got to give him like 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah, but I mean, it could also very much be like a thing of like Hideki just immediately chokes him out.
Sure. And then Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Kuroshio Tokyo Japan team together. He's back.
Against?
Jack Kennedy and Aizawa number one.
Oh, well, sure. Why not? I mean, but he was always going to come back, right? Like it's never going to be a thing where like Jiro is just gone now.
Musashi, Rising Hayato, and Ryo Inoue versus Atsuki Aoyagi, Fuminori Abe, and Seigo Tachibana. Now there's a match. There is a match. Hopefully they give him enough time. Not like 6 minutes.
The problem is though that it is third from the bottom, so not too positive there.
And then we got an Alpida versus Hokuto Gun 6-man. Yuma Anzai, Reki Han, and Rena Abe versus Hokuto Omori, Arashi, and XXL.
What? Who's? Oh yeah, he was teasing this like really tall guy. Yeah.
So it can't be Cyrus, right?
No, because Cyrus isn't that tall. I mean, he literally said it's somebody taller than Rena Abe.
Yeah. Have they nabbed Null from Noah? I don't think.
Maybe.
Someone said Andreza the giant panda, and I can't rule that out.
Yeah. I kind of like my idea of it's Takashi Yoshida and Kumar Rashi in a trench coat.
Yeah. Could be. I don't know. It'd be
could be Kevin Nash.
Could be Mads Kruger.
I really hope it's not.
I know. I
maybe it's the organic star of Killer Cross.
No, he's not tall enough.
That's true. He's too small. Yeah, but he gets over crowds so naturally.
What is?
That's the thing. There aren't that many people on the planet that are taller than Rena Yabe. He's very tall.
Or at least that I can think of off the top of my head.
Is Shuji taller than Ren?
It's pretty
no,
close.
No, I think it's slightly. It's close at least, yeah. But like Shuji, Ishikawa, and Hokutogon doesn't make any sense.
I'm looking at Cruel, a.k.a. Mads Kruger, in MLW's Twitter feed right now. And he has some dates from June 6th onwards to fill. He's looking for them. So I'm just trying to figure out who's really tall.
Yeah, who's really tall and available right now? That's the thing. Like, it also needs to be somebody that is available. So,
I
think it might, like, I think the Andreza shout might be, like, the best one because it is going to be a comedy thing, right?
Yeah.
And Andreza just makes a lot of sense there.
Yeah.
Or it's someone really, really small. That's the only other thing. It's someone really, really small instead.
And then we have PWF World Junior Heavyweight Championship match, Seki Yoshioka versus Dan Tamura. And we think Yoshioka's retaining.
Yeah.
And then semi-main event, I assume. Kento Miyahara and Yuma Aoyagi versus Tataru Shino and Zion. Around Zion.
I mean, I think it's a big test for him, right? Like, if he can't have a good match with this tag team on the other side, like...
Yeah.
That's rough.
That's a learning experience for him. Best I can say, I guess. I don't know. And then
I mean, he kind of just doesn't have to stand in the way, and they're going to have a good match, so...
Yeah. And the main event for the Triple Crown, Jun Saito defends against Rei Saito. I was trying to think about this, and I think it's reasonable to have reasonably high expectations for this because they've had good matches against each other in the end. But my concern is that instead of just going 20 minutes where they just kick the shit out of each other, they're going to make them go 27 minutes. And that's why.
Yeah. It's a very real risk. Or that they that they kind of fuck up the match structure as well. I think that could be a problem as well.
Yeah. They got to do what they did. Was it the December 31st show with Kento versus Nakajima where they had that singles match?
Yep. I was there they were like, yeah, that one was really good. I was there.
You got to just do that again.
Basically.
I would hope. Paul, who do you think is going
to
win?
To be quite honest, I don't care.
Okay.
I don't think it really matters which of them wins. I guess maybe gun to my head, Ray wins so that they can say that both of them are former Triple Crown champions.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to do this otherwise. I do think regardless of who wins, I think the Saito who wins is going to lose the title pretty quickly, though.
Yeah, look, I think it's time to end this June reign.
I think I'm kind of done in general with, like, the Saitos as singles workers for a bit.
Oh, I don't know. Ray, when he's on, I love him.
But, like, I'd rather, like, there's so many other people in this company I'd see want to see with, like, the Triple Crown, basically.
So I want Ray to win, and I hope he does. But you get this reign has got to be a one or two defense thing.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Like, he's got to drop it even before the Royal Road tournament, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
My only concern is, okay, Ray wins. I think Honda would be the first logical challenger, and I think that would be good. My only other concern is they're going to run Rene Abe versus Ray Saito for the Triple Crown.
They might, yeah.
If they did that in a building smaller than Korakuen, I think I could support that.
I don't think they have, like, they're not doing that at the moment, though. Like, they keep the Triple Crown in bigger buildings.
Okay. Yeah, see, here's the thing. Ray only lost to Ayabe, Honda, and Vecchio.
And we're not going to do Vecchio.
Yeah.
I think Honda, I think we can lock in as, like, one of the challenges.
Honda would be the perfect V1 defense for Ray.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But that Ayabe thing is a little
dicey, yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know about that one.
Yeah, I know. It's funny. Okay, well, let's see what the upcoming schedule is. They got the show on the 1st. They got a Gifu Plaza show, no. KBS Hall, no, because they got a court on the 15th.
So that's going to be one. 18th.
Yeah. We also have an Age of Baka no Jidai versus Hokuto Army show at Shinkiba First Ring on the 24th of June. And then on the 17th, we got Summer Action Series at Korakuen Hall. Mm-hmm. We got Summer Action Series on July 21st at Osaka Edeon Arena number 2.
That might be one, but I could also see that one being like a main event by a tag match, by a tag team match. I mean,
I'm going to be honest. I'd main event that Edeon number 2 with Ren versus Ray if you're going to do that, and then do the tag titles.
Yeah. That would make sense as well. Yeah.
But then I think in August, they've got an Ota Ward show on the 3rd.
And I would assume that one is going to be the one where he loses the title then, right?
Yes. And okay. So here's my fantasy booking. Mm-hmm. Okay. You do Honda defense. Maybe you can get to a defense that's not Ayabe in another way. Mm-hmm. Ota Ward is Ray versus Anzai.
Yeah.
Anzai wins. And I don't know, make your pick for Royal Road Tournament. Paul, this might sound disgusting to some people, but just have Davey Boy win the Royal Road Tournament. And have Anzai beat him.
I kind of was thinking that too. I didn't want to say it. I didn't want to say it.
And then I honestly think Anzai and Davey Boy could have a good match.
Yeah, I mean, if there's anybody in the company that could be, it would be Anzai, yeah.
And then you're into October. Maybe you get one more defense in there. And then Kento versus Anzai at Yoyogi. Because, Paul, at this point, what else do you have for Yoyogi?
Nothing really, yeah.
Unless you bring in someone out of the blue. Naito might not be wrestling again until 2026, folks.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, and if anything... Noah. Yeah, if anything, if he's working any show around that time, it's going to be the Noah, like, New Year show.
Yeah. So I don't know what this company's got for December 31st other than Kento versus Anzai.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's basically it. That's what they're going to do. And, I mean, I'm looking forward to that, though. Like, I guess I get that it's right now the only thing that they have. But, like, I mean, they're building up guys underneath. Like, I think they're going to get Honda to, like, a spot point where, like, he will be, like, a main eventer as well. Like, I think he's going to win the Triple Crown as well at some point soon. Maybe not this year, but I could see him, like, maybe get his first raid, like, a short one, like, next year.
Yeah. I just think it's time to put that title back on Kento.
Yeah, no, it's like, as weird as it sounds, like, it's been too long until, like, we've had a Kento Miyahara title.
Well, if he wins it in December, it will be almost 3 years since he's last held the title. Jesus. Because he lost it in February 2023 to Yuji Nagata.
Yeah. That's kind of crazy to think about.
I think
if you tell, like, 2018 me, that's like, oh, you know what you're really after? It's like another Kento Miyahara title reign. I'm like, what?
In some ways, it's a stroke of booking genius to keep him out of the main event this long to elevate these other guys so it feels somewhat fresh again once he gets it.
Yeah.
Because
that's all fresh. Like him versus Honda, like that's a match. That would be completely fresh, like title defense.
Because they just need bodies. And we said this a million times before, but this is the biggest problem in this company.
I mean, fuck, Yuma Aoyagi versus Kento would be a fresh Triple Crown match at this point. As weird as that sounds.
I was going to say it's good that they're working with Dragon Gate again.
Yep. Yeah, Kikuta is somebody you could throw in there.
Yeah. Maybe you could convince Kai to return.
Well, I mean, if I want anybody to come in, it's Shun Skywalker.
Sure. Former junior tag battle of glory participant.
Yeah. But I think if Kikuta's a credible heavyweight, so is he.
Oh, yeah. I just, this was the thing. Okay, so whatever happened, happened. Fukuda may have alienated people, but they got to start working with more companies.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, all of a sudden the Dragon Gate Nova stuff has just stopped.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's anything to do with them, with it's always weird with these promotions in Japan, right? Who has relationships with whom, and then they weirdly end, and
All Japan.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening. Yeah. All Japan and DDT seems to be over.
Big Japan were always had guys on the show for so long.
And now there's none, yeah.
Yeah.
Not even the guy that have left. I mean, Abe is on the shows, but then, Takuya Nomura isn't. You know, that's also weird.
Yeah. Oh, he would be a guy.
Yeah.
That could help a lot.
Give Astronauts, a tag team title run.
I could see the Astronauts on dethroning Anzai and Hayato.
Oh, yeah, that would be a good one, too. Yeah, because that has to happen before, that has to happen at some point soon as well, because if you want to get Anzai ready for a singles run, and probably I would assume maybe Rising Hayato's the guy that ends the Yoshioka reign at some point, probably around the same time Anzai wins the Triple Crown as well.
And all these tag titles are titles that have been defended in other companies quite a bit historically.
Yeah.
So, I think them putting them on those titles on the Astronauts would be good just for all parties involved.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you want to bring in Hayato Yoshida. I don't know. Maybe I'm not fully ready yet to give up on him, but I don't know. not looking good.
I don't know. And there's a certain Naori Nomura just doing nothing, but
yeah.
Well, Naori Nomura is my Hayato Yoshida team.
Yeah, but at least I know that's mean, but at least Hayato Yoshida's healthy.
Yes. Yeah, fair enough. So yeah, I mean, I just think summing this all up, All Japan needs to make some booking decisions right now about what they're going to do in their future, because I just don't know. I mean, it's both incredible what they've managed to do in terms of develop this young talent, but after a company that just relied on Kento for so long, but at the same time, I don't know what the longer term direction is, despite that they've overcome their young talent problem. Mm-hmm. It's weird.
Yeah. It's very odd. The promotion's in a very odd place right now, but I feel I don't know. I think it's also kind of I don't think June is that good of a champion. I think that's also the problem right now.
Yeah, that's fair. Although at the same time, you kind of had to do it, I think, especially at this
time. You had to do it. I fully get it. You had to do this big Sendai show. You have to do brother versus brother there. It's just that, you had to sacrifice basically 6 months of the company to get there.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, we're still talking about Anzai's only 25 years old. Yuma's turning 30 this year, but Honda's still, 25, 26?
Yeah.
Even Iabe's not even 30 yet.
No.
So
they're in a good spot.
They just have to tighten things up, I think.
Yeah. And bring in a few more bodies. I think weirdly enough, they don't need they maybe a few more people that can credibly challenge for a title, but what they really need is mid-carders.
Oh yeah, for sure.
They need Harutokis is what they need.
They need Harutokis for sure. Hopefully that's why I'm so banging the drum on Shotoku.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like this company could never, will never be in a spot where there's too many juniors running around.
No, and if that happens, then it will be another promotional split for some reason.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so that is it for this week. We'll be back in early June because, we've got a couple of big shows coming to that with some very interesting choices to be made, right?
Yeah.
Within that survival three-way in Noah and the brother versus brother main event in All Japan. So until then, I'm Gerard with Paul, and enjoy all the wrestling out there. Bye.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is, how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the pro wrestling quiz show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill three contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.